Florida Live, Dan Maduri, Lieutenant Governor of Florida, Carlos Lopez Cantera, joining us right now. Lieutenant Governor, how are you?
Hey, Dan, good. How are you this afternoon?
Doing great, doing great. So on November 26th, you tweeted out a Mark Twain quote where you said, "I've never wished a man dead, but I've read some obituaries with great pleasure," and then you attach the story of Fidel Castro is dead. From you and your family's lineage standpoint, what did the death of Fidel Castro mean to you?
Well, as you know, I'm the son and grandson of Cuban exiles. My grandparents left Cuba in 1960 under the threat of imprisonment. My grandfather was actually imprisoned for one night, and he was let out by a night court judge who he knew that hadn't been switched by the Castro regime yet, and that probably saved him from several years as a political prisoner. So, you know, it's sad that my grandparents, neither one of them lived to see the news that we all saw this weekend, but it's still, you know, I still read about his death with pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been interesting watching the coverage of Fidel's passing. Of course, it's been international news. It's been the front page of international newspapers all across the world. But I've been interested in seeing that they're not really apologists, Lieutenant Governor, but more of people just talking about how Fidel Castro, the complicated history of Fidel Castro and what he meant to the world and to politics and surviving 638 assassination attempts and standing up to the United States of America for over six decades. And I'm thinking, you know, I really don't see it to be that complicated. He was a dictator. He killed thousands of people. He imprisoned a bunch of people. And he led a communist country that only enriched particularly himself. Why do you think that there seems to be this longing fondness towards Fidel Castro?
Well, I think the longing fondness is only coming from the left and from Democrats. I certainly don't see it coming from many in my party. I don't understand it. This is the same Fidel Castro that allowed Russia to point nuclear weapons at the United States during the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is the same Castro that gave the order to shoot down the Brothers to the Rescue planes over international water with American citizens aboard, killing them, murdering them, and faced no consequence for it, still to this day. Well, maybe he paid the ultimate consequence, and now he's burning in hell because of it. But I don't understand it. Also, the romanization of Che Guevara. Che was Fidel's executioner. When Fidel came to power, he dedicated a prison in Havana to hold mock trials, where Che was the judge, jury, and literally the executioner, and they killed thousands of people, just shooting them, execution style, anybody that had disagreed with their new dictatorship. So I don't get it. I wish someone could explain it to me. It doesn't make any logical sense.
We're talking to Lieutenant Governor of Florida, Carlos Lopez Cantera. This is Florida Live. I'm Dan Maduri. When you see young people walking the streets of Miami or across the Florida at large wearing Che T-shirts or Fidel Castro T-shirts, what are your thoughts towards that?
Well, you wouldn't see it much in Miami because they wouldn't make it too far down the street wearing one of those shirts in Miami without having somebody explain to them how stupid that is. And how insulting it is to the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of families who have suffered at the hands of the Castros. It goes back to what I said earlier. It doesn't make any logical sense. If you know the history and if you know the facts, I think a lot of it, anybody who puts on a Fidel shirt or a Che shirt or promotes their images is probably the textbook definition of ignorant.
Speaking of which, we've learned that President Obama and Vice President Biden and it looks like Secretary of State John Kerry will not be attending Fidel Castro's funeral, but they will be sending a representative. When you think about the long, complicated, heated history between Cuba, Fidel Castro, our country, our government at large, is it wise or is it right for America to send a representative to his funeral?
If the Obama administration sends a representative, the only person that I would be okay with him sending is somebody who views the issue of Cuba and the history of Cuba under Fidel the same way I do, and the same way others who have had family that have been affected by it. That's who, if he sends anyone, that's who he should send. That, I doubt that he will, but that's who should go.
So you're okay with the U.S. having a representative at his funeral? Because there's been a lot of cries about people saying, you know, we shouldn't even have a presence there. We should completely ignore it. You know, Obama sent out like a Facebook post talking about Fidel Castro. President-elect Trump sent out a tweet. That should be it. We should not acknowledge it. We should move forward, and nobody should be there.
Well, the reason I said someone like myself who could use the opportunity to speak out about what Fidel really did and what Raul continues to do. Take that opportunity with all the attention on it. That's one of the benefits of his death, I think, is the renewed attention on Cuba and specifically Fidel, how he came to power, how he exercised that power, and how he has now transferred that power to his brother, Raul, and how his brother now continues to abuse the power over the Cuban people. So that would be the only reason to send someone who views the issue the same way that I and many, many others do, is to use it as an opportunity to speak out and expose that dictatorship for what it really is.
We're talking to Lieutenant Governor of Florida, Carlos Lopez Cantera. This is Florida Live. I'm Dan Maduri. Carlos, when you look at what's taking place in Miami, people in Little Havana, they're in the streets, they're celebrating, they're applauding, they've never been so happy. I saw one video of a grandmother like being like flying out of bed, cannot believe the news. She's so ecstatic, so excited, crying in tears. And then you see what's taking place in Cuba, in Havana, and you see people crying and they're mourning. And I'd have to guess and have to speculate here, of course, but I'd have to guess that some of the people celebrating in Miami, applauding it, high-fiving, some of their family members, either immediate or extended family, are actually mourning and crying still in Cuba, Fidel Castro's passing. When you look at that type of dynamic taking place, one side, America, celebrating, Cuba, mourning, why is that?
Well, I've seen the images, the lines of Cubans who are at paying their quote-unquote last respects to Fidel. You got to remember, they are expected to wait in that line. Because the government expects them to wait in that line. The same government that decides when they're getting their next meal. Same government that decides what apartment they're going to live in. Same government that decides whether or not their ailing family member gets the type of health care treatment that they need. So what you see is, you know, a product of 56 years of intimidation, coercion, and abuse. And I don't believe that there's a lot of genuine remorse going on in Cuba right now. I mean,
it's almost
if there
like
are
Stockholm
selective
syndrome.
Images that are being sent out, I believe they're extremely selective. Maybe of people who have benefited, who are on the good side of the dictatorship and are treated well and rewarded for their loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Were you for or against the embargo being lifted?
Against. Absolutely against. Because
so when
I know
when you
exactly
hear Trump,
why the embargo is in place and what it stands for.
So when you hear Trump talking about how he's humoring the idea of putting the embargo back in place or forming coalitions, putting sanctions on Cuba back in place, is that a good move?
Yes. Yes, it is. The embargo is not in place and not designed to make anybody suffer. As a matter of fact, it's there for the exact opposite, to ensure and to try and get the dictatorship to give basic human rights that we take for granted in this country to the people who live in Cuba. What you and I are doing right now, Dan, this radio interview, where I can say whatever I want, you can ask me whatever question you want, that doesn't happen in Cuba. The amendments, the Bill of Rights that many in this country take for granted, those don't exist in Cuba. As a matter of fact, the opposite exists over there. you can't speak out. And if you do, you're beaten and arrested. And they were rounding up dissidents, pro-democracy dissidents, in anticipation of releasing the information about Castro's death and after they released the information of Castro's death, because all the media attention that was there on the island, they didn't want any of these people speaking out and taking advantage of the renewed attention that was going on there. So they rounded them up, arrested them, and took them to prison. And then once the attention dies down, they'll let them back out. But the moment that they think they're a threat, they'll arrest them again and take them back to jail, because that's what they do on a daily and weekly and monthly basis over there.
And we're talking to Lieutenant Governor of Florida, Carlos Lopez Cantera. What do you think the future? I mean, Fidel's dead. Raul lives on. Obviously, the Castro regime alive and well in that respect. What do you think the future there is when it comes to the makeup of Cuban government, and how can America work with them in order to make sure that they move into a direction more freedom-based?
Well, that's the hope. I don't believe anything's going to happen under the Obama administration, and as a matter of fact, everything Obama's done since December of 14 has made President-elect Trump's and his administration's job that much more difficult, because all these airlines and cruise ships that are going over there and bringing all these tourists that are spending all these dollars, that has given a stimulus. That's Obama's economic stimulus that he granted to Cuba to save them right at the moment when they were going to be suffering. Because if you look back, Venezuela was first the Soviet Union was subsidizing Cuba, then the Soviet Union fell apart, and they went through a tough time. Then Venezuela, under Chavez, was subsidizing Cuba, and they were living high on the hog with all the oil revenue. But then the price of oil started to drop, and then Venezuela had their own economic issues, which continue today. And they were unable to subsidize Cuba as they were. And at that same time is when Obama announced these changes, which sent this influx of money to Cuba and help them get out of their hole. And also Venezuela, you gotta look at Venezuela. Venezuela and all the problems that are going on there have been at the advice and with direct support from the Cuban intelligence services. They have the Cuban intelligence services at the direction of the Castros are on the ground in Venezuela helping then Chavez and now Maduro carry out the same type of iron-fisted grip dictatorship that has existed in Cuba for 56 years. That's what you're seeing in Venezuela now. Mm-hmm. So I hope that President-elect Trump will do what he said he would do during the campaign and what he's reiterated over the last few days. I was at an event at the Bay of Pigs Museum during the campaign that he spoke at, and all indications are that he's going to follow through, and I look forward to him doing so. It's going to take tough love to get real change on the island. It's not going to happen by just giving everything that they want and not getting anything in return.
You know, Carlos, obviously you have direct family lineage to Cuba. You're deeply well-versed in Cuba. I would like to see you have some sort of role with the President-elect Trump's administration in dealing with Cuba. Have you talked about that at all? Have you discussed that? I mean, would you like to be a part of that if the opportunity came about?
I'm always happy to help in any way that I can. I know that he's included a gentleman by the name of Mauricio Claver in his transition landing team now on the issue of Cuba. Mauricio is the executive director of the Cuba Democracy PAC and an organization called Capitol Hill Cubans. I mean, if Mauricio's there, I feel good that they'll be going in the right direction. But that being said, I'm always willing to help in any way that I can. And if asked to do so, my answer would obviously be yes.
Carlos Lopez Cantera, Lieutenant Governor of Florida, thank you very much for taking the time. I ran a little bit late, I know. Thank you very much.
That's okay. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
All right. You too. You too. Take care. I was actually a little bit surprised by Lieutenant Governor's response. I mean, because you hear so many people. I mean, it was a very even wise response in my estimation. But it was interesting to hear him basically state that, yes, he wants a U.S. representative to be at Fidel Castro's funeral, but he wants it in the context, in the terms of a person taking that opportunity to illuminate the travesties and the horrificness of the dictatorship that Fidel actually was. I mean, over the years, Fidel's become – he's become like a folk hero to young people in which, you know, they talk about it, they brag about it. It's almost like, you know, it's almost like he's become like Tony Montana from Scarface, the epic character portrayed by Al Pacino. And it's just like, that's not what it is. I mean, this is reality. This was people's lives. This was affecting people's lives. And it would be great to see somebody as a representative down there to illuminate what it is that Fidel was and represented. And I thought that that was a very even response from a person who is a third generation Cuban by blood, but his grandfather and his father exiled out, had to go to Spain and then work their way back into the country. And of course, he is now seen his life take off here in the state of Florida particularly, but in the country at large. And I just think that, you know, it's very personal for the lieutenant governor. And you can hear it that it's very personal to the lieutenant governor. But he didn't let that cloud his judgment. And I commend him on that. 866-977-4820. I also love that tweet. What a great tweet. What a great tweet. November 26, he includes the Miami Herald's article of Fidel Castro being dead, and then the Mark Twain quote, "I've never wished a man dead, but I have read some obituaries with great pleasure."